Okay. Hi. I'm Lars. I'm 12 years old. I'm in sixth grade at Whitman Middle School. The most common types of digital technologies that I use are my computer, my laptop, my family's home computer, my Nintendo DS, and our home theater system. Depending on how much homework I have and what season it is, I spend, you know, anywhere from 1 to 4 hours, per day or so. Not every day, but whatever. My favorite technology that I have available to me would probably be my family's home computer, because it has a lot of speed to it. It's kind of a newer one, whatever, but so I can actually play most of my video games on it that my laptop can't, because of memory and RAM or whatever, all those other technical terms. And every time I have, you know, friends over just at school, video games actually is one of the most common conversation starters that we have available to us now. I go up to my friends like, hey, I just got this new thing. He's like, wow, I just got that last week. It's like, oh man, I can't beat level 32. You know, something like that happens. And then it just goes on and on and on and on and on for, you know, however long until it gets into something weird, which normally doesn't happen, actually. Now let's go to my school. My school's library, which is where I hang out during, you know, after lunch recess, sort of, not really recess, but sort of just break time, I guess you could call it, obviously has a lot of computers, and they have a very strong no gaming policy, which on my part seems just odd. You're talking about middle schoolers in the 21st century who have access to thousands of websites and thousands of, you know, anti-blocking websites that can bypass, you know, like BESS or whatever system they're running, which is actually very easy to do, even though I haven't tried it. But lots of my friends have. Yes. Not getting to there yet. But one thing that's come up a lot in my life is video game ratings. You know, there's like, child, E10 now that just came out, teen, M, AO, adults only. And lots of things that I find very common among families is, you know, strong sort of, I don't know what the word is, but, just being really against violence, you know, like, teen games aren't allowed until, like, I don't know, like, age 17 or whatever, I don't know, whatever random age. But what I have found throughout my video gaming life is that those games are actually sort of a one-way portal, sort of, visual portal, throughout, you know, possible things that we could do in our lives. You know, we do one thing, it screws this up, then we do another thing that also leads to bad stuff. And, you know, it's just an never-ending cycle. So it kind of teaches us a lesson about what to do and what not to do throughout our entire life, which is what I find to be very sort of like a learning experience while having fun. And it also, depending on some games, actually kind of boosts strategic brain power, sort of. Little bit, as I found. Any questions? Okay then. What? Okay. Yes? Exactly, depending on whatever way you play it, you know, if you just don't care about it and you're just there for the violence, that's kind of a problem. So, you know, if you're a parent here, you actually have to kind of ping, you know, your, you know, mind and think about what my child would do with this game and think about it that way and in their perspective. I have a lot of friends whose parents, you know, just really don't care what video games they get, which is a very bad concern to me. And, yeah. Any others? Yes? Yes, yes. My friends are actually getting back into a game called RuneScape, which maybe some of you have heard of. I'm not. I find it to be a very bad game, very bad graphics and whatever. Yeah, I'm not a classics fan. Anyway, but it's kind of a way to socialize with people all over the world, you know, who share the same interests as you. Even though you don't know them as a person, you know them as an online character, which is also a concern going, you know, is your life completely different from your online life? Which, you know, is a very powerful concern that I've heard a lot about lately. Yes? Yeah. Yes. Let's go on the subject of instant messaging. Instant messaging, you know, is a great way to talk to friends, you know, exchange ideas instantly. Hence the instant part of it. But whenever you're actually on that, it's kind of like you're an entire different person. See, me personally, I have a lot of friends who I don't get to see since I just moved schools. My old school went through 8th grade, and lots of people stayed. But a way I do see them is through this youth group that I go to. And lots of times, a lot of my friends who I do instant message with are at that youth group. And it's kind of a whole nother story, you know. They're, you know, online, it's like, you know, just sort of an open conversation. You're like, hey, how's it going? Not bad. How's your life been? It's like, you know, that. But, you know, when we actually get face-to-face, it's an entirely different story. It's more of like a, oh, yeah, there's that guy. I just talked to him 3 hours ago, you know. It's kind of like that thing. Yes? Yeah, let's take the game Grand Theft Auto or something. You know, one of those things that's kind of very common, which they made a lot of different games, like Vice City, for example. Honestly, I don't have any of those. Yeah, so I'm not that kind of thing. But, you know, if you actually think about what you're doing in that game, you can sort of put two and two together and go like, hey, what am I doing now that could eventually lead to that? You know, and you can actually fix some of your bigger problems through that. You know, it's like, what do I need to do to stop acting like I'm doing, because I can get to this any time in my life if I make, you know, certain choices. I hope it. Yeah. Anyway, thank you.